Welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Good weekend. I had a good weekend in fantasy. Hopefully you did too. I won 9-0-1 in one league. I won by like 70 points in another, and then got the highest score in another league, but still actually only won by about 20 points. But still, it was a good weekend. The other one that I lost in, don't want to talk about. But today we're going to go over kind of the weekend, give you top players and worst players from the weekend. Then I'll give you some week-long pickup suggestions, or long-term pickup suggestions, rather. And then just some players to keep an eye on this week, just in case, let's say that there's someone who you should just keep an eye on and maybe pick up this week, or just keep an eye on and maybe if they crush it this week, then you pick up next week. So let's start first with reviewing the weekend. I'll start in Toronto with JVR as a most impressive player. 2 games played, 3 goals, 1 assist, a +3, 2 pims, 2 power play points, 1 game-winning goal, and 10 shots on goal. Great week for him, or great weekend for him. Interestingly enough, last week he was actually on the least impressive players from the weekend. So good rebound from him. And then an eerily similar stat line from Miles Wood and the Devils. 2 games played, 3 goals, 1 assist, a +3, 2 pims, 2 power play points, and 8 shots on goal. So the only difference there was the game-winning goal and 2 less shots on goal. Erik Karlsson in Ottawa, 2 games played, 4 assists, a +1, 1 power play point, and 4 shots on goal. And lastly, in net, Braden Holtby, 2 games played, 2 wins, a .966 save percentage, and a 9.96 goals against average, which is just absurd. Like, that guy had a massive weekend. I was playing against him, and I was hoping for a loss yesterday, because then I would have swept 10-0, but he got the win. Whatever. I'll take a 9-0-1. Sticking with goaltenders and moving on to least impressive teams and players is Connor Hellebuck. A tough weekend for him. 1 game played, 1 loss, a .773 save percentage, and a 7.53 goals against average. Not the worst stat line in the world, and he only had, actually, what is a very bad stat line, but what I mean by that is he only had 1 game played. The thing with Connor Hellebuck, and the reason I put him on here, is mostly because in the past, his struggles have been mental. He loses his head and then starts to kind of, you see the effects of a bad game wear on him. And so I'm very curious to see what happens this week. He's had 2 duds in the past week. Can he stay consistently good, or will these start to affect him? Something to keep an eye on. Another frustrating player is Nick Foligno. 2 games played, -3, 1 shot on goal. He's gone almost, I think it's like 12 games now without a point. It's crazy because he's on a good line. He's still getting so many minutes. That's why I don't know what to do with him. He's on the top line. He should be doing something, but he's not. Jack Eichel also had a kind of disappointing weekend with 2 games played, a -3, 2 pims, and 6 shots on goal. But he'll be fine. Zach Werenski as well. 2 games played, a -2, 4 shots on goal. So another kind of case of Columbus. Just the top guy is not doing much. Maybe it's because they have a lot of their young guys and their depth players doing a lot, and they're just kind of waiting for a resurgence from their top guys. Cam Atkinson has been slow. Everyone has just been quiet in Columbus. It's weird. Okay, so let's move on and preview the week, and let's start first with our long-term pickup suggestions. Michael Furlan is my first one at 7% owned on Yahoo and ESPN. He's playing the top line, top power play in Calgary. Now, granted, he could lose it very easily to Jágr, but he's been clicking so well with Monahan and Goudreau that, honestly, as long as he's on that top line, I'd get him. He's just been playing so well. He looks so good on that line, especially if you're in a points league. You want to be on that top line and that top power play. Then moving on to the Rangers, we have Rick Nash at 45% owned. He's a shooting machine. He has like 68 shots, I think, this season already, which is really, really good. He's putting the puck in the net finally, too, which is good. That was one of the biggest problems with him, was he was shooting a lot, but nothing was going in. So it was hard to recommend him because, yeah, you're shooting, but you're not actually producing. But now he's producing. He gets time on the penalty kill and time on the power play. The guy is, right now, at least while he's hot, you should be owning him. Staying with the Rangers, Pavel Buchnevich at 50% owned. He's top line, top power play, and absolutely on fire. His usage is still a little weird, 15 to 16 minutes on average, which is the reason why I think a week or two ago I had mentioned him as an unsustainably high. One, obviously, his stat line that week was crazy. But the other reason was just because AV has always been weird with Buchnevich, where he has 3 good games, he has 1 bad game, and then bam, you're down to the 4th line. I didn't know how he was going to be kind of treated going forward, even though he was kind of this budding superstar right now for the Rangers. And it looks like now he's a top lock for the power play and line. So I would say that as long as he's there, you should pick him up right now. And he's only 50% owned. So he's probably he's likely available in your league, especially if your league isn't that active. He's probably out there. And he's just been playing so, so well. And lastly, William Karlsson at about 12% owned. Consider me a believer. Now, one of the reasons I'm a believer here is that he was playing on the wing all season and they moved him back to center, which is what he's played all his life. And since moving back there is when his production started. He's on the top line in second power play centering it, and he looks really, really good. Like I said, I'm a believer in him now, and I think he's a pickup. And I'm honestly eyeing him in a lot of leagues, even some deep ones. He looks really, really good, and a lot of the offense is going through him, which is why he's getting these points. Now, let's take a look at first short-term pickup suggestions, so that'll include kind of the team matchups this week and just who to keep an eye on for those. I'll start by reviewing my pickups last week for short-term, and Oliver Bjorkstrand was my first one. He went from 5.5% owned to 6% owned, and in four games played, he had one goal, one assist, a plus one, two pims, and six shots on goal. Not bad. Not the greatest peripherals, but he gets points, which is why I liked him. And 2 points in four games played in a deep league for a guy like him at 5% owned, I'll take that all day. Josh Anderson as well. He was top line in second power play at the time of mentioning, but Cam Atkinson came back, took his spot. Through four games played, he had one goal, minus one, four pins, nine shots on goal, and three hits. I also said if you were in a bangers league to take a look at Joel Edmondson, who went from 12.5% owned to 17.4% on ESPN and 24% on Yahoo. He's averaging about four blocks a game and around two to three hits a game, and he shoots about two a game, which is why I mentioned him, because he's just a peripheral monster right now. Through three games played, he had one goal, a minus two, two pims, seven shots on goal, eight hits, and four blocks. Not bad. I'll take that. He only had about one block a game and about two, three hits a game. And then William Karlsson, of course, who I've already talked about, and now I added to my long-term last week, he was my short-term, 8.2% owned to 11% on Yahoo and 16.8% on ESPN. He got three games played. He had two goals, one assist, a power play point, and seven shots on goal, two hits, one block, and one shorthanded goal in his last game. So that's another thing to add about William Karlsson is he's also playing on the penalty kill. So lots of ice time for him. And then as far as kind of players to keep an eye out for the week now, let's start first with the teams with four more games, which is Carolina, the Dallas Stars, the Florida Panthers, and the Los Angeles Kings. And teams with two or less games, Anaheim, Chicago, New Jersey, San Jose, Tampa Bay, and Toronto. So people who have Tampa Bay and Toronto and have been relying on them, good luck. I hope your team is deep and ready to go. and then as far as people to keep an eye on for, I mentioned him before, and I'm going to mention him again here, is Esa Lindell at 8.6% owned on ESPN and 12% on Yahoo. He's top pairing second power play, so he's now with Klingberg, and he's still in the second power play, but hey, could get moved up. He had a goal and assist in his last game, so his percentage jumped a bit from that. But he is looking really, really good. He's getting a lot of ice time. He's an offensive guy. I'm a big fan of Esa Lindell. I have him in my deepest of league, in my keeper league, and I have him marked as a watch in my other leagues as well. Jordan Staal is also interesting to me because he plays four games, 17.5% owned. He's on the top line and top power play for Carolina, and he's been playing really, really well. A lot of the offense is flowing through him, and he looks comfortable right now. The thing with Carolina is they're not consistent, and that's what scares me about Jordan Staal. And then on defense, I'm going to mention Jeff Petrie at 22.6% owned. This is how you win a hits cat. You want a player that's leading his team in hits? That's Jeff Petrie. He has, I think, 49 hits. And he also gets some shots. He blocks a bit. And then as far as points go, he's on a power play. He's on the second power play and on the second pairing. So the thing that I like about Jeff Petrie is he's kind of like a Borowiecki type, where you have him solely for hits. He's a goon. You want to win that hits cat. Now, the thing with Jeff Petrie, though, because he might get shots, and he might even get you some points. So he's a good pickup. At 22.6% owned, I picked him up at about 5% owned, I think, just because I liked his usage and his hits. And I think that's going to start to go up in hits leagues. So that's a low percentage ownership. But if you're in a hits league, that percentage, I mean, is probably higher of hits leagues than it is of overall. So that's something to keep a note of, is if you're in a hits league, bangers league, he's going to go faster than just like the overall average. And let's move on to top picks for tonight. There's only two games. I hate small slates, but whatever. We still talk about them. You got to go, I think, in small slates with the people that you trust, and that would be Tarasenko, Sagan, and Ben. It's easy. You want one of those or two of those in your matchup. And then for value picks, I'm going to go Justin Williams just because he's been really good, and he's just so cheap that I wouldn't mind taking a gamble on him there. Esa Lindell, who I already talked about a little bit, is very cheap, and if you're going to stack Dallas, you can get Esa Lindell in there for very cheap and get Klingberg and Lindell in there, actually. And then lastly, another guy I already talked about is Michael Furland. He's so cheap and on one of the best lines in hockey. I don't see how you can't go with him and just kind of take a flyer on him, maybe one of those streamer spots that you get in daily. Just kind of you need to get a team, a player from a different team in your lineup. Michael Furland may be the guy to do that. So it's a very quick show today. Very short one. Brandon is back tonight, so we should be doing the podcast together on Wednesday, but it might just be him. I'm going to Nashville, and then we'll both be doing it together Friday, Saturday. So thank you for listening, and we will see you on Wednesday.